Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me, beloved saints, to the Psalms, Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse 13. If you have it, say amen. Psalm 102, verse 13. Oh, we give God praise tonight. We give God glory. The Bible tells us, as we look at the word of the living God, thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time has come to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. Hallelujah. Say this with me. The time of my favor has come. The set time for Zion. Say, I'm spiritual Zion tonight. Oh, glory to God. Now, tonight, beloved saints, I want to share with you just for a few moments so that we would understand what the Holy Spirit is saying. Throughout the Bible, beloved saints, God allows and chooses certain situations of distress and difficulty in our lives that demonstrate and carefully articulate the kindness and the care of our Heavenly Father. Difficulty and distress, beloved, adversity and grief can oftentimes become the instruments that God chooses to demonstrate His mercy. We have to understand that favor is a miraculous demonstration in your grievous situation. Say this with me. Favor is a miraculous demonstration in my grievous situation. So it's a miraculous demonstration, a breakthrough, an anointing, a healing that God gives to us. Let me share with you what we mean by God using distress, God using disappointment, God using rejection, God using patterns to keep us in bondage as the very instrument of that He needs to demonstrate His favor to you. If there were not difficulties, there would be no need for favor. If there were no bondages, there would be no need for favor. If there was not a struggle or something that was filled with injustice, there would be no need for favor at all. But you see, God brings a miraculous demonstration in your grievous situation to demonstrate favor. Let me explain to you the individuals that were recipients of such favor. Jacob is the very first place in the Bible that we see the word favor used. We see Jacob, we see Joseph, we see Hannah, we see Esther, we see David, we see Ruth, we see Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we see Moses. We see eight primary individuals that favor is lavished upon. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want that favor lavished upon me. You see, if we look at all of these eight, including Jacob, Joseph, Hannah, David, Esther, Ruth, Mary, and Moses, we will see that there is a denominator of destiny, and it defines what favor is all about, because each and every one of these eight needed to have a miracle because their lives and their favor reflect how God uses the painful place to prosper us. God brings us out of the painful place into prosperity. And those who were recipients of this favor show us how God uses the prosperous anointing, and he uses prosperity, which we will share with you in a moment, to break off the painful place. So this means I can be in a painful place and still be prosperous. Say this with me. I can be in a painful place and still be prosperous. Oh, hallelujah. Say favor is when I'm in a painful place and I'm very prosperous in my painful place. Say this with me. I'm prosperous like Jacob. I'm prosperous like Joseph. I become prosperous like Hannah. I become prosperous like David. I become prosperous like Esther. I become prosperous like Ruth, and I become prosperous like Moses. Mary became filled with grace because she was the first person to hear the gospel. She was the first person to receive Jesus. And anybody who receives Jesus has grace. Turn to your neighbor and say, grace, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, I'm receiving grace when I receive Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God the praise and give God the glory. Now, beloved saints, I want you to understand that favor means that mercy is going to be demonstrated to us. And we need to understand that God is looking for the poor. He's looking for the needy. He's looking for someone who needs to be justified. He's looking for someone who has wrongfully been rejected and unnaturally been subjected to cruelty, to rejection, to personal pain, to secret sorrows. These are all the candidates for favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a candidate for divine favor? Hallelujah. So favor is bestowed upon those who are in desperate need of it. And that means if you are in a painful place, you are destined to still prosper in a painful place, because favor is the ability to prosper in a painful place. Say this with me. Favor gives me the power to prosper in a painful place. The God that I serve gives me the power to prosper even though I'm in a painful place. Somebody should praise the Lord. So this means, beloved saints, that if we look at favor and really want to see what it means, the Bible tells us that favor is a divine reaction. It's a divine reaction. Say it's God's response. It's a divine reaction. A reaction is something somebody responds to. Say this with me. A reaction is a response. So favor is a divine reaction that causes retraction of some type of injustice in your life. Are you with me? Somebody say, it's God's reaction. Oh, hallelujah. It's God's response. Hallelujah. This is God's divine reaction that causes a retraction. That means it stops. That means God retracts it. That means God reverses it. It retracts the situation. It is God's response. Hallelujah. It's God's reaction that causes a retraction towards some injustice that was done in your life, some sorrowful circumstance that is highly unusual, that is very difficult for you to bear. That is what favor is. Are you understanding? Let me explain to you where favor began, if we will. First, one of the most powerful places in Scripture. It's not the first, but it's a very powerful place in Scripture where favor is demonstrated. And that is in the priestly blessing of Numbers chapter 6. Let's look at that priestly blessing for a moment, because there are three articles in the priestly blessing that demonstrate God's favor to you and I. The Bible says, the Lord barak you, the Lord bless you, and keep you, the Lord shamar you. Oh, say this with me, the Lord is going to shamar me. Hallelujah. The Lord barak you, the Lord shamar you. The Lord make his face to light upon you. Hallelujah. And the Lord be gracious or favorable to you. Hallelujah. So this means the high priestly or the priestly blessing releases favor on your life. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I want to only go over Article 2 of the priestly blessing. This is so important. It says, the Lord make his face shine. Sit with me, shine. And the word shine is the word light. Say, so the Lord cause his light from his face to shine upon you. Hallelujah. Do you remember what Paul said about the face of Jesus? Hallelujah. And about the light on the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians, this is exactly the giving of divine favor that God wants to give to each and every one of us. That the light has shined on the face of Jesus Christ. Let us look at this ore. Let us look at this light that comes. Oh, praise God, I'm going somewhere with this. The light of revelation that brings a transformation out of the darkness. Now, I want you to see, the Lord make his face to shine or light upon you and be gracious unto you, or be favorable, bestow favor upon you. So the question arises, where do we see for the very first time light, and where do we see favor? First of all, we need to understand in a Hebrew sense of scripture that what this is called is a blessing. Set with me, the priestly blessing. And blessing in Hebrew is the word barachot. Set with me, a barachot or a braha. Say with me, a braha. And the word braha has a synonymous word, because we are going to see that God created your favor before the world began. Actually, code, or the creation code, if you will, in the creation code, we will see that the blessing, Article number 2 of the priestly blessing, is encoded in the creation story. So the concept of the priestly blessing being in the creation story is revealed in the scripture. One of the things we need to understand is the word braha. The word braha is related to the word briha. Sit with me. Briha. Briha and baraha. Say it. Briha and baraha. Hallelujah. So we see that this word briha is actually in the creation story. The concept is reflected from this Hebrew word braha, which shares the common root with the word briha. And so we see how it happens. If we look at the creation story, we will see verses 3-6. Are going to show us how Article number 2 in the priestly blessing is encoded in the creation story. This means, not because we want to supernaturally see secrets in the Word of God, but that God wants us to know that he had your miracle in mind in creation. He wants you to know that favor was already created in the creation story, that God has already created a favor for those who have had acts of injustice, because God already knew this world was going to fall. God already knew that there was going to be rejection, that there was going to be unusual types of sorrow on the earth for certain individuals, that there was going to be grievous days, that there was going to be tests, trials, and tribulations for certain individuals, and acts of injustice that seemed so unfair. But God created a bracha, and he also created favor during the creation story. Before he created anything on land, before he created any animals or anything in the water, before he created the fowls of the air, he already had our back before the attack. I hope you understand it. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, if we look at verse 6, I will back up to verse 3 in a moment, but I want us to see verse 6. The word bericha, or briha, which is taken from the word braha, same root, means, beloved saints, it means a wellspring of water. Say it with me, a wellspring of water. Say, a briha is a wellspring of water. Okay, now when we understand the briha being a wellspring of water, it is very important to know that a wellspring means waters that go up and they come down. Say it with me, waters that go up and then come down. So we actually see on the second day of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, last line says, let the waters be divided from the waters. And the Bible says in verse 7, and God made a firmament and divided the waters. The waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Are you understanding? Waters are now divided. There are upper waters and then there are lower waters. But the upper waters were created to bring Braha down to earth so that through the upper waters they come down. Say this with me, that waters that flow up from heaven down to earth. Say it with me. Braha is transmitted from upper waters that flow down to earth. Come on, say it with me. Braha is upper waters flowing down to earth. Now, beloved saints, if you notice, the Bible tells us, hallelujah, the Bible says in Article 2, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you in the first article. And in Article 2, it says, the Lord caused his face to light upon you. Notice, the very first thing that God created was light. Hallelujah. Light was created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Say it with me. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God created light. Oh, praise God. And the Bible says, and the Lord be favorable unto you. Or it says, if we can look at the priestly blessing in Numbers chapter 6, if we can look at it in verse 26, it says, or verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The word gracious is taken from the word Hanan, which is Uhaneka. I want you to understand, Uhaneka literally means that the Lord be favorable to you. Are you with me? Taken from the Hebrew word Hanan. So I want you to understand right there in the creation story, when the upper waters came down to the lower waters, the briha was made. That means the braha was made. And the braha was made, light was made, and waters from above were coming down to earth, meaning God already ordained that favor come to you because these words were spoken in one of the greatest, holiest brahot in all of the Bible, the priestly blessing. Every time the priestly blessing is said, favor is released. Somebody ought to say, I can't wait for the priestly blessing to be released upon me tonight, for favor to be released upon me. Somebody should give God the praise and the glory. So we see Uhaneka, the Lord be favorable unto you. Now, beloved saints, there are many of us here tonight that are in a lot of personal pain emotionally. There are some of us, dear people of God, that have gone through such emotional traumas, tragedies. There are some of us that have gone through situations. Yesterday, I was in a meeting in the afternoon, and there were hundreds of people there. And in the late afternoon, and we had a prayer line there. And almost every single request was a request of a mother weeping for children that have gone astray. And you look at this and you say, oh my goodness, they were weeping and saying, you know, my daughter, I raised her in the ways of God. And she's totally gone astray. Some people are looking at me strange because they didn't know I had a secret service yesterday. That's all right. I have a lot of secret services people don't know about. Because if you all knew how many services there were, I don't know if you would be able to comprehend. Yesterday, I think there was, thank God I didn't take them all, but there was, I think, 5 services yesterday. But 2 of them were taken by wonderful, beautiful, dear people of God. We just want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. I'm just saying that so you will all understand what is happening. So often, thousands of dollars are spent by individuals for what we call catharsis. Catharsis. Catharsis is a process of unpacking painful pieces that cause shame and pain in our life. And thousands of dollars are being spent every day all over the world on individuals who want to go through catharsis. Catharsis is a process that someone goes through with a therapist. They spend thousands of dollars on a therapist so that they can unpack secret sorrows within their hearts. Are you understanding what we're talking about? So catharsis involves it involves a reality of unpacking rubble under the ruin. And the Bible teaches us, beloved saints, that the Bible is such a tool of truth that we need to understand that it actually becomes a heavenly MRI for us. There are some people that say, why am I spending so much, many thousands of dollars on catharsis and I still feel the same? I don't feel my therapist has really gotten to the issue. But I have a word for you, because the Bible actually is and operates like a therapist. I want you to understand the truth in the Holy Word of God is so powerful. And when God articulates our pain, when there is a certain narrative in the Bible that sometimes we even feel uncomfortable with because the pain is so shocking or the pain is so blatant. Sometimes the Bible is very blatant about abuse. The Bible is very blatant about people who have been abused. The Bible is very blatant about rejections and hurts and pains. This is not because God wants to accuse anyone in the Bible, but it's because we see a divine validator. We see someone who knows our pain. We see someone who feels our pain. The Bible says in Isaiah 63, verse 9, in all of our affliction, he was afflicted. Do you understand? And the angel of his presence saved us. So we understand that the Bible is the divine validation in your painful situation. This means when you read the Bible, it's like reading or taking a heavenly MRI, that God shows the point of our pain, that God's holy ultrasound from his word is able to articulate the places of our pain, the places where we've been rejected, the places where we've been hurting. And these are the places that God, and the reasons why God is bringing favor into our lives. It is for these very reasons. Say this with me. I never thought I'd thank God for my pain. But because of my pain, God's bringing me into a prosperous place. Somebody ought to say, because of what I've gone through, God is going to favor me. Hallelujah. Let's look in the Bible at the very first place that favor is used. It's very shocking, as a matter of fact. The most shocking place that you would never expect favor. And that is the time when Esau met his brother Jacob. The very first time that favor is used puts a claim on the tribes of Israel and puts a full claim on the birthright. Oh, praise God. The Bible tells us, if we look at the word of God, the word Hanan actually is a fundamental, foundational concept in Scripture. And so therefore, when we look at the word Hanan or favor, we need to understand the conceptual context by which it is meant throughout the Scripture. So the very first place when a word is mentioned in the Word of God shows us the conceptual context and the foundational context of that word. In Genesis chapter 33, verse 5, the Bible tells us the first time Hanan, favor, appears. And it is one of the most spiritually significant words in the Bible. Hallelujah. So the first place that we see favor appear is extremely shocking, but it clarifies the spiritual significance of the meaning of the heir. The heir is Jacob. And we see one of the most perplexing themes that's in the Bible is that we see that favor now becomes a cause of controversy. Say this with me. My favor may be a cause of controversy for my enemies. Come on, say this with me. My favor, the favor God has given me, may be a cause of controversy to my enemies because they're not going to understand how I can prosper in a painful place. Say this with me. You have been ordained, if you are God's child, to prosper in a painful place, to advance in adversity, because that's already been given to you through the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We see this word favor that caused much cause of controversy. And we see for the first time when Jacob and Esau are being reunited, it becomes the proof of the possession of promise. It establishes the concept of election and establishes the concept of selection. Let us look at Genesis 33, verse 5. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, in Genesis 33, verse 5, it says, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw the women and children and said, who are these with you? And he said, the children which God has graciously given thy servant. Now, that isn't just saying God was so good to give me these children. What that means is that God showed favor on these children. These are the children of favor. That is what Jacob is saying to Esau. They are the descendants of favor, and they are the recipients of favor. Are you hearing me? That this is the very first place that favor appears is on the seed of Abraham, the descendants of Jacob, speaking this to Esau, who had no favor. Are you understanding what God is saying? Hallelujah. Say, my favor may be the cause of controversy. It was the cause of controversy with Joseph. Somebody ought to say, I'm not afraid of the favor God is bestowing on my life. But tonight, I'm receiving that favor because through that favor, I'm receiving the power to prosper. I hope you're hearing this tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God the praise. So we understand, dear child of God, the word Hanan, favor, means God has graciously given. Say this with me. God has graciously given. That means God has shown kindness. God has shown mercy because he looked upon somebody's affliction, because he looked upon someone's rejection, because he looked upon someone in a situation where they had no helper. Are you following me? Say, I am a recipient and a candidate for divine favor tonight. Somebody should praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight, before we close, I want to show you another place of favor and how God has called us to prosper in a painful place. This is what favor enables us to do. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. And we are going to see in Genesis chapter 37, favor actually becomes the cause of controversy. That means not everybody who you think is for you is for you. Hello, somebody. I said not everybody that you think is for you is actually for you. There are some people that when you get a blessing, they're not so happy. When you get a blessing, it makes their day terrible. But that doesn't mean anything, because you know what? God's given you the power to prosper. Somebody ought to say, hallelujah, say, I'm going forward anyway. Now, I'm going to show you something. The power to prosper in a painful place means nothing can stop the favor of God. As a matter of fact, the rabbis say that the favor from the priestly blessing, even walls of iron cannot stop it. Hallelujah. I said the favor that comes from the priestly blessing, even the walls of iron cannot stop it. I said walls of iron cannot stop your blessing. Somebody ought to say, nothing can stop my favor. Nothing can stop the favor in my life. And the Bible is going to demonstrate that through Joseph. God is going to show us someone who was absolutely should not have survived. Someone who should have died right when his brethren betrayed him. Someone who should have had no favor, no strength to rise. Someone who was against, who had a situation in his life that was absolutely impossible to recover from. If you really want to psychologically make an analysis of what Joseph went through, most individuals today would probably process the situation of being in Egypt under Potiphar as being in a state of PTSD. Someone would say he was definitely in post-traumatic syndrome. But unfortunately, my friends, whoever would psychologically assess that to be true about Joseph, that is about the farthest thing from the truth, because he was in a painful place, but God was blessing him. He was receiving the strength to prosper in a painful place. As a matter of fact, because of all the pain that he went through, God enabled him to prosper in adversity, to go ahead. Are you hearing this? Somebody ought to say, God is prospering me in my painful place, and it's because of my painful place that God is going to prosper me ahead. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't stop this. Hello, tell your neighbor, say, can't stop this blessing. I want you to see this from the word of the living God. The Bible articulates what Joseph went through. And the reason the Bible is articulating this is the Bible wants us to see that it is possible to come back. It is possible to still prosper and to advance in adversity. The Bible says when his brothers saw him, they said in verse 20 of Genesis 37, come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast has devoured him. And we will see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Now, if Reuben would have only stayed faithful to his responsibility, he would have remained the heir, but he didn't. And the Bible tells us, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat, the coat of many colors that was upon him. Right there, that's enough to knock a person for a loop for several years. And the Bible says, and they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Verse 25, and they sat down to eat bread. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, and their camels were bearing spicery and myrrh. And we all know what happened. He was taken down to Egypt. But notice in chapter 39, verse 1, the Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. Hallelujah, of the hands of the Ishmaelites, and brought him down thither. And the Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. So the Bible, we need to understand, how could he possibly be prosperous? The Bible is going to insist upon the fact that he's prosperous because he has favor on his life. That even though he's brought down to Egypt, even though he has nobody with him, even though he's isolated and separated, even though he doesn't know the language, even though he might be emotionally traumatized and maybe a little bit immobilized, nothing can stop the favor that's been given to him. He's still got favor on his life. Hallelujah. And favor is going to make him prosper in a painful place. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so the Bible goes to explain itself. It wants to be sure. I'm so glad the Bible oftentimes articulates things over and over again so we don't miss it. Turn to your neighbor and say, now the Bible is going to elaborate on the blessing and the favor on Joseph's life, because the favor is what gave him the power to prosper. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Say, I can overcome anything when the favor of God is on my life. Say, I don't have to be bound to just good times. God can bless me when things are going bad and when things are going good. God can bless me when I'm up, and God can bless me when I'm down. God can bless me when I go in, and God can bless me when I come out. Are you hearing me today? Oh, glory. If we look at the Word of God, the scripture is insisting on the fact that we understand this favor, and we are looking at it. And the Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And the Bible wants us to make sure that we know he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, the Bible is telling us he became prosperous because he was brought out of the field and he was in the house. So immediately when he stepped ground in Potiphar's house, a miracle happened. Tell your neighbor and say, a miracle happened. Somebody ought to say, a miracle happened, and he began to prosper. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. The Bible says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made everything that he did prosper in his hand. Hallelujah. And Joseph found favor. The word grace is favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, Joseph found Hanan. He found favor in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and then he made him overseer over all that he had. Say this with me: you couldn't stop his blessing, you couldn't stop him from prospering, you couldn't stop him from advancing, you couldn't stop him from being at the top. Even though he was at the bottom, he rose to the top immediately. Even though he was out in the field, he was brought to the inside of the house. Are you hearing me, saints? Nothing could stop the favor on his life. That meant that no matter how low, how adverse, how difficult, how distressed the situation was, God made him prosper. And his master saw all of that, everything he did, God made him to prosper. So he had double prosperity. You know what that double prosperity was? It was a double prosperity for what he went through, and double prosperity followed him through all the years in Egypt. The same thing keeps repeating itself, only it proliferates. Say it with me. The blessings God has given me are going to continue all the days of my life. Only they're going to proliferate. Somebody ought to say proliferation. Oh, somebody ought to give God the praise. He was made ruler over the master's house, and then he was made ruler over all that he had. So we don't know all the possessions, all the land, all the vastness that Potiphar owned. All we know is his high position of aristocracy in the Egyptian empire. He was considered aristocracy. Are you with me? He wasn't just some little guy. I want you to understand that Potiphar was a very influential, important individual. That's why the Bible tells us. So immediately he brings Joseph out of the field into the house and makes him ruler over his house. And as soon as he becomes ruler over his house, he becomes ruler over everything he owns. He becomes ruler over his possessions. Oh, this seems to follow Joseph over every circumstance, because as soon as Joseph is thrown in the prison for something that he didn't do, favor didn't leave him. I want you to understand the Bible is very strong and very sincere to say, don't worry about Joseph, because favor is on his life. And no matter how painful the place is, he's gonna be blessed. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 39, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison for a false accusation, but it was the king's prison. Turn to your neighbor and say, sometimes prisons I don't understand, restrictions in my life. It's not the common prison, it's the king's prison. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know what the king's prison is? The king's prison is when God allows us to go through trials and God allows restrictions in our life, but it's for the glory of God. It's the King of Kings prison. Hello, somebody. And the king's prison isn't going to hurt you. The king's prison is only going to advance you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you're not in another kind of prison. I hope that your affliction is for the glory of God and that God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. Make you prosperous in a painful place. And somebody ought to give God the praise. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, oh, glory. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the Egyptian and in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed all into the hands of the of all the prisoners into the hands of Joseph that were in the prison. And whatsoever he did there, he was the doer of it. So now we see the same thing happening again. He becomes a ruler in the prison, and then the prisoner, the head of the prison, entrusts every single prisoner into the hands of Joseph. Are you following me? The same way Potiphar entrusted to him everything that he owned, because it's only going to get better. Say, after each trial, I go into a higher anointing. Say this with me, nothing can stop me. Turn to your neighbor and say, the word for today is unstoppable. I become unstoppable because of the favor of God on my life. So I am not worried about a little bit of pain. The Bible is telling us we're going to prosper in a painful place. And somebody ought to give God the glory. Oh, glory to God. Now, if we just see this, beloved, you know what happened. He was called up out of the prison, and he can't stop the favor. This time, this is the most unrealistic thing that should happen to somebody like Joseph. And the reason these other events have taken place, because nobody would possibly comprehend that the Pharaoh of Egypt would go so crazy over one person. It's not normal. I said it's not normal when you just meet a slave and you turn the whole country over to him in 5 minutes. Hello, somebody. I said, hello, somebody. Say, that's crazy favor. Somebody ought to say crazy favor. Say this with me. Favor that doesn't make sense. Favor that doesn't make sense. Come on. Favor that doesn't make sense. Say, that's the favor on my life. Favor that doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. Because it's so glorious. Oh, glory to God. If we actually look at the word of the living God, the Bible says after Joseph interpreted the dream that the Pharaoh went berserk. He went crazy. And he said, can we find such a man in who the Spirit of God is? No one's going to disagree with Pharaoh. I don't care who you are. I don't know what you have a parliament for. Because anything that Pharaoh said, they're going to yes and amen it. And they said, can we find such an one in whom the Spirit of God is? And he said, there is none as wise and discreet as thou art. And he said, you're going to be ruler over my house and over all that I have. He said, the only difference between me and you is the throne. Do you understand? He literally gave Joseph carte blanche breakthrough favor. This is the kind of favor God is about to release in these hours to those that are faithful to God in the midst of their trials. You see, your trial is the stepping stone for favor in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not afraid of a little bit of trial. I'm not afraid of a little bit of difficulty because God has given me the power to prosper in a painful place. Stand to your feet right now. This is something that...
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.